This is the time and place for the South Dakota Public Utilities Commission September 13th meeting at the Brookings Hotel Center in Brookings, South Dakota. I am Commissioner Gary Hansen. With me today are Commissioners Bob Sire and Commissioner Dusty Johnson. The first item on the agenda is for me to find out who is joining us and whether or not all of our telecommunication systems are working. PUC and PIR, are you with us?
We're here.
Good afternoon. Colleen Savold, Quest.
Yes, I'm here, Mr. Chairman, and Larry Cole is here with me as well.
Thank you. Rodney Thieman of Great Plains Communications.
Yes, I'm here.
Dave Gertis of May Adam Gertis and Thompson. Darla Rogers. Mary Belay. John Tormoller.
Yes, I'm here from Valley Telecommunications along with Marcia Huber, our office manager.
Good afternoon, John. Marcia.
Good afternoon.
And as others join us, please remind me, anyone on staff, if I get to one of these items where a person is not joined us, we'll attempt to contact them. First item on the agenda is EL05-023, in the matter of the application of Xcel Energy for a construction permit to build 9.6 miles of the split rock to Lakefield Junction 345 KV transmission line and add facilities to the split rock substation. Who is first up on this item?
I can take that, Chairman Hansen. As part of the filing, the requirement is that a deposit amount be set. And on August 26th, Xcel filed for an application for construction permit to construct a 345 kilovolt transmission line. It's approximately 9.6 miles of transmission, and they're also doing upgrades to the Split Rock substation. The estimated cost of the project is $7.9 million. Statutorily, the commission can assess a deposit not to exceed 0.25% of the estimated construction cost, and also it can not be less than $8,000. So based on that statutory requirement, a deposit should be set for $19,750 with a minimum of $8,000.
Thank you, Michelle.
Mr. Chairman, Jim Wilcox from Xcel Energy. Xcel Energy understands the rules and statutes, and we agree and accept the filing fee. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who wishes to communicate on this item with the commission? If not, the question before the commission is, shall the commission assess a filing fee not to exceed $19,750 with an initial deposit of $8,000? Is there a motion?
Mr. Chairman, I move that the commission assess the filing fee with the initial deposit of $8,000.
Second.
And I concur. First item under telecommunications is TC05-126, TC05-138, TC05-152, TC05-154, TC05-162, and TC05-163. In the matter of the request for certification regarding its use of federal universal service support in the preceding documents, the question before the commission is, shall a commission provide a certificate to the Federal Communications Commission and to the Universal Service Administration Company regarding the plan for the use of federal universal service support as proposed in each of those dockets? And presenting this today, Harlan. Harlan, are you with us?
Yes, can you hear me?
We can hear you very well. Please proceed.
Thank you. Each of these respective companies have filed certified information supporting the requirements of 47 U.S.C. Section 254, Part E, that all federal universal service support can only be used for the provision, maintenance, and upgrading of facilities and services for which the service for which the support is intended. Staff would recommend to the commission that they provide certification to the FCC and the Universal Service Administration Company that each of the companies have certified that it will only use the federal support as required.
Thank you, Harlan. Are there any of the affected parties who wish to address the commission at this time? Are there any questions by the commissioners? Commission action?
Mr. Chairman, I would move that the Commission provide a certification to the Federal Communications Commission and to the Universal Service Administration Company regarding the plan for use of federal universal service support as proposed in each of these dockets.
And I will second the motion.
I concur.
In the matter of TC-05-156, the request of Quest Corporation for certification regarding its use of federal universal service support. Question before the Commission is, today shall the Commission certify that Quest residential rates in rural areas are reasonably comparable to the urban rates nationwide, and shall the Commission provide a certification to the Federal Communications Commission and to the Universal Service Administration Company regarding the plan for the use of federal universal service support as proposed in this docket. Is Quest first up or is staff? Quest?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I think we've been working with Harlan to provide him some additional information, but I think there's no question that our rates are below the urban rates nationwide, and we'll continue getting the data. We have a tax expert who's on vacation, worked with us a little to refine, but the information we've given Harlan to date is within about 10 cents of where I think we'll finally end up.
Thank you, Larry. Questions from the commission?
Larry, this is Bob Starr, and I seem to have the super loud mic here at Brookings. So hopefully I'm not deafening you people out there listening in. What is the, I'm just curious, do you know what the total dollar amount is?
The total dollar amount with all the taxes is $27.71, and I think the federal rate is $34.60-something.
$34.21.
Thanks, Harlan.
Thank you.
Thank you. Harlan, do you have anything further to present?
Quest Corporation filed a certified information supporting the requirements of 47 U.S.C. Section 254E that all federal universal support shall only be used for the provision, maintenance, upgrading of facilities and services for which the support is intended. The Commission is required by 47 CFR Section 54.316 paren A to annually review the comparability of residential rates in rural areas of the state served by non-rural incumbent local exchange carriers to the urban rates nationwide, and to certify to the FCC and Universal Service Administration Company as to whether the rates are reasonably comparable for purposes of Section 254B3 of the Telecommunications Act of 1996. Staff has, in accordance with 47 CFR 54316B, the Safe Harbor provision, presumed that the residential rates in rural areas served by Quest are reasonably comparable to urban rates nationwide because the residential rural rates are below the nationwide urban rate benchmark. The nationwide urban rate benchmark is equal to the most recent urban rate plus two weighted standard deviations. The nationwide urban benchmark was determined in the most recent annual reference book of rates, price indices, and expenditures of telephone service published by the Wireline Competition Bureau of the FCC. The rates that staff compared to the nationwide urban rate benchmark include the monthly charge for one-party flat rate service, a monthly end-user access charge, taxes, which is the federal excise tax and state tax, 911 surcharge, hearing impaired surcharge, and the federal universal fund surcharge. Quest has agreed to file the correct tax amounts as soon as possible. Staff is confident that the amount will be more than $6 below the nationwide urban benchmark rate of $34.21. Staff recommends that the Commission certify that Quest's rural residential rates are reasonably comparable to the urban nationwide benchmark rate, and that the Commission provide certification to the FCC and to the Universal Service Administration Company that Quest has certified that it will only use the federal support as required.
Thank you very much, Harlan. Is there anyone else wishing to make any presentation on this item before the Commission? If not, any questions?
Yeah, Harlan, this is Bob Sarr. Do you know what the dollar amount that Quest is receiving is, or was this based on this last year, or how does that break down? Harlan?
Yes?
I'm sorry, did you hear the question? I'll take that as a no. No. Harlan? Larry Toll?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes, Harlan.
Larry or Harlan, I'm just curious. Do either one of you know what support Quest is receiving?
Can the folks in the PUC and PEER hear us? Can the folks at the Quest Communications hear us? Can anyone else hear us?
You need to mute your phone to be able to hear the others, unfortunately.
Well, we just heard that voice.
Larry, can you hear us?
Harlan? Is the conference operator on?
We can hear you.
Who's saying
that's Harlan.
The problem is we can hear you. The bridge. Harlan's saying he can hear Larry. Now you don't know who you is. Harlan?
Yeah.
Oh, wonderful. Harlan,
hey.
You can hear us?
We were not on mute.
It's the bridge.
Can you hear us now?
Yes.
Harlan, this is Gary. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Thank you. Quest, can you hear us?
I can, Mr. Commissioner.
Wonderful. Commissioner Sarr has a question.
I was just curious to see what the dollar amount is of the support that Quest will be receiving.
I think there's a problem with Bob.
Is that part of that, Commissioner Sarr, the amount Quest
is going to be receiving?
I believe it, in 2005, it was about a little over $1.6 million.
Great. Thank you very much.
Are there any further questions? If not, I will move that the Commission certify that Quest residential rates in rural areas are reasonably comparable to the urban rates nationwide, and the Commission will provide a certification to the Federal Communications Commission and to the Universal Service Administration Company regarding the plan for the use of Federal Universal Services support as proposed and with the contingencies as set forth by staff.
Second.
I concur.
Next item on our agenda, and I will ask if anyone has recently joined us that we had not recognized previously. TC05-084, in the matter of the application of Envoy, Inc. for an amended certificate of authority to provide inter-exchange telecommunication services in South Dakota. Question before the Commission is, shall the Commission grant the amended COA to Envoy, Inc.? Karen, Sarah, Michelle, who is handling?
I'll take
Sarah.
That, Commissioner Hansen. This is Michelle Ferris with staff. Envoy Incorporated currently has the certificate of authority to provide local service in South Dakota, and they're asking for an amendment to include inter-exchange service. They intend to provide resold and facility-based interexchange service, including one plus intrastate toll calling, toll-free service, and operator services to business and wholesale markets throughout South Dakota. They've made all staff recommended changes to their tariff, and they've agreed to accept restrictions from collecting deposits or advanced payments, including from offering prepaid calling cards. Staff would recommend the Commission approve their request for an amendment to their Certificate of Authority to provide interexchange service with the restriction from deposits, advance payments, including prepaid calling cards.
Thank you, Michelle. Is Mary Belay with Envoy, Inc. on the line with us now? Are there any questions by commissioners? Commission action.
Mr. Chairman, I move the Commission grant the amended Certificate of Authority to Envoy Incorporated.
Second.
I will concur. TC05-100 in the matter of the application of Aceris Management and Acquisition, LLC, for a COA to provide interexchange telecommunication services in South Dakota. Question before the Commission is, shall the Commission grant the Certificate of Authority to Aceris Management and Acquisition, LLC? Michelle?
Thank you, Chairman Hansen. Aceris Management and Acquisition has submitted an application in accordance with the rules of South Dakota. The applicant intends to provide resold interexchange long-distance services, including MTS, in-WATS, out-WATS, and calling card services throughout South Dakota. They have made all staff recommended changes to the tariff, and they've agreed to accept restrictions from offering prepaid services or from collecting deposits or advance payments. The applicant is a startup company, and they're requesting a waiver from submitting the financial information, including balance sheet, cash flow statement, and income statement. Staff would recommend the Commission approve the request for a waiver from filing the financial information, as well as approve the Certificate of Authority for Aceris Management and Acquisition with restrictions from accepting deposits or collecting advance payments, including prepaid calling cards.
Thank you, Michelle. Is there anyone else wishing to make comment to the Commission on this docket?
In the rationalization for the waiving of the financial statements?
Right now they have a consolidated financial with the parent company, mm-hmm. and because they are a startup, they don't have individual. So they did file for with the parent company, but we don't accept that.
And how typical is a waiver like this in this kind of a circumstance?
Real typical with a startup company.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Is there a motion? I will move that the Commission grant the COA to Aceris Management and Acquisition, LLC.
Second.
Concur.
Item number five, in the matter of approving amendments to agreements in TC05-114 and 147. The question before the Commission is, shall the Commission approve the amendments to the agreements? Karen.
Thank you, Chairman Hansen. The amendments to the agreements were properly filed. Staff found no discriminatory language. There were no comments filed, and staff would recommend approval.
Is there anyone wishing to comment before the Commission on these items? If not, Commission questions.
Mr. Chairman, I would move that the Commission approve the amendments to the agreements.
Second.
And I concur. Announcements. Next regularly scheduled Commission meeting will be held September 27 at 9:30 in Pier, South Dakota, room 412. Commission meetings are also scheduled for October 4th, November 1st. A public meeting on docket EL05-022 will be held 7 p.m. on September 13th at the Lantern Inn in Millbank, South Dakota. That is this evening. Quest Regional Oversight Committee meeting is September 18th through the 19th in Bismarck, North Dakota. Commissioners are presenting to the South Dakota Association of County Commissioners on Wednesday, September 21st at 8 to 9 p.m. And we have just concluded a most successful...
Mr. Chairman, I might just have one other announcement. Commissioner Sarge just reminded me that we do have a public meeting upcoming in Brandon that we might as well mention as well.
Very good. On September 2nd at 7 p.m. 22nd. I just about said City Council at the beginning of this. On September 22nd, thank you very much for reminding me, at 7 p.m. in Brandon at the
Tailgaters,
which is just off the interchange with I-90. And we invite people to be there. It will be an interesting public meeting. Are there any other further announcements? I will make one last announcement, and that is congratulations to everyone who did such a marvelous job. Commissioner Johnson on the wind forum, conference, whatever it is. Great job. Meeting adjourned.